Today on Real Radio.
When they drag us before the church council and they say, are you saying that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven? Martin Luther said that. Did you know that? Martin Luther said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. All of the cardinals and all of the bishops got Martin Luther together there and they said, recant of this heresy or it's your life. Are you sincere about what you are saying? And you know what Luther said? He said, let me think for a moment. I want to be absolutely sincere. He said it in German, but he said it. And then he came back and said, I'm absolutely certain.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 12 begins with another one of Messiah's hard sayings. It's a passage on fearing God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When All Else Fails.
Compassion. Our God's compassionate in the midst of suffering. Be in awe of him. I believe, I hope I'm wrong, but if I understand the Bible right, if the world is going the way that it's going, we need to pray every day more and more, Lord Jesus, come back today. Because do you realize the consequences? If he doesn't come back soon, we could very well die for our faith in the next 5, 10, 15, 25 years. Our children, our grandchildren. The Bible speaks about a time when there'll be persecution going on around the world. You say, but Pastor Jack, isn't the rapture going to happen? We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. I hope it happens right now. But what if it doesn't? Are you ready to die for Christ? He will be there in the suffering. He'll be there. Rest. Verse 6. He's in all places, Christian, so we can rest. He's there in the pain. Are not five sparrows, note this, church, watch this. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins and not one of them is forgotten before God? Be careful, church, listen. The answer is yes and no at the same time. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Yes, the answer is yes and no. They actually sold, watch this, they sold for a sacrifice for the offerings and for food. They, for 1/4, well, we'll say pence or farthing. For 1/4, you got 2 sparrows. For 1/2, you got 5. You say, what kind of math is that? Watch. For 1/4 of a farthing, you got 2 sparrows. Well, who would eat a sparrow? This is the extreme poor. Jesus is speaking about the extreme poor. I mean, this is worse than buffalo wings, you know? If you lay down 1/4 farthing, you get 2 sparrows. Jesus said, are not 5 bought for 1/2? No. Technically, you get 4. You pay for 4 of them. So valueless were they, sparrows, that in the culture of Jesus Christ, they threw in the 5th one for free. They were considered such nothing, little things to eat. Can you imagine taking a sparrow and dipping them in sparrow dipping sauce? It's just bones. So 1/4 farthing, you get 2. For 1/2, you get 5. With 6, you get egg roll. I'm kidding. No, but anyway, 5. The announcement is sparrows, viewed so common among men, barely worth a thing, God cares. Church, listen, God cares for the little birds. You say, well, that's amazing. But why do you and I, are so much easier prone to embrace the fact that he loves all the little animals and he loves Bambi and he loves all the little birdies and all that stuff, but we doubt his love for us. What's wrong with us? Did you know we're insulting God when we do that? Yes, he loves the birds. He doesn't love the birds more than us. We're crazy. We're crazy people, humans. We wind up sacrificing everything. I don't mean you and I, but people, humans, strap themselves to a boat and ram into a freighter trying to save a whale. They'll get in between, you know, to save an animal. Look, the Christian should protect animals more than anybody in the world, but to what cost? Jesus says, keep this in mind. A little bird, which in the eyes of men have no value, God loves you more, Christian. God loves you more. In the midst of all this thing of life's hard balls that it throws to us and pitches that it hits us with, in the pain of it all, God loves us. 5 sparrows sold. Jesus says, listen, not one of them is forgotten before God. That is amazing thing. Is that a hyperbole on Jesus' part? Impossible. Is he making this up? Impossible. God cares. Some of you need to hear this morning. If God cares about them, why not you even more? Matthew 10:31 says exactly that. Matthew 10:31 says, do not fear, therefore. Don't be terrified. You are more valuable than many sparrows. God loves you more. St. Augustine said, God loves each of us as if we were the only ones. God loves us as if we were the only ones. I like that. Also, rest this way, Christian. Here's a wonderful thing. Where he's at, we can rest because we can rest from the fear. There'll be fear in our lives, but we can rest in that. He's with us. He's for us. He loves us. He says, verse 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Listen, do not fear, therefore. Don't worry. Don't panic. You are more valuable than many sparrows. I'm going to give you some information. You probably don't care about this, but I found it kind of funny. The average blonde has 145,000 hairs on their head. The average blonde has 145,000 hairs on their head. The average brunette has 120,000 hairs on their head. And I don't know why, but the average redhead has 90,000 hairs on their head. First of all, how do they know? But anyway, who counts these things? But somebody took the time to count. God knows. The scriptures tell us, listen to this, that we, in Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And watch what happens. Don't worry. What's the result if I stop worrying and I give it all to God? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Are you anxious? Give it to the Lord. Are you worrying? Pray. I mean, literally, church, listen. Are you worried about something? Physically, I need to do this. Physically, get on your knees and start to pray. I just have to do it physically. Okay, well, I'll pray about that. No, get on your knees and pray. Pray and start, Lord, I'm worrying about something. I'm concerned about something. Take it to the Lord and personally get on your knees and do it. And church, please, this is your homework assignment. Begin to feel, sense the weight being lifted as he begins to relieve. He's there in fear. He'll take it away. Psalm 147, verse 4, he counts all the stars and he calls them by their names. Wow. What a great thing that is. And then thirdly, Christian, when all else fails, verses 8 through 12, we need to rejoice. We don't do this enough. Have you noticed that? You say, Jack, but things are really tough and difficult. I know. You know what? You guys, is it me? And is it because I'm getting older? I'm sure this is part of it. It's because I'm getting older, yes. But it's because I'm a pastor. I get, you know, you hear news. Someone's got cancer. Someone died. The baby was born this way. The marriage is that way. I mean, I hear this all the time. And you begin to wonder, is there any good news out there? Well, that's why you read the Bible. Okay? But what about you personally? How's it going? Personally, you look around the world, you see things going on, friends, family, church members, these are challenging times. These are difficult days. And they seem to be getting harder. So what should we do? Run off the pier? Go throw ourselves in front of a car? No. Grab onto the Lord all the more. Get closer to him. See, our emotions will do this. Oh my goodness, I can't take it. Watch. I'm out of here. And we run emotionally. We run. Rather than, hey, my emotions are screaming at me to do this. Watch church. Time out. Time out. My emotions are saying this. You know, Jesus didn't die to save us from our emotions. You know, we still have them. As deceiving as they are. He died for our sins. Our personalities, we still have them. I wish I didn't have mine. He died for my sins. I wish when he died for my sins, he would have made me the most. What? My personality would have been perfect. Didn't happen. It didn't happen to you either. Our emotions say, always, by the way, our emotions never tell us, run to the foot of the cross and rejoice in the Lord. Emotions never say, grab the Bible and read until you have an answer. Emotions never say, don't we want to fast and pray today and just seek the Lord? Emotions will never say that. Have you noticed what emotions say? They always lie to us about what we need. Scream, freak out, jump, go crazy. Emotions rip us off every time. What should we do? Rejoice in the fact that our God is powerful, powerful to save us. Verse 8, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Church, the word confess here in the Greek is homologeo. Homo, the same, logeo, word. It means to assent to covenant, or to be in agreement with, or to say the same thing, or to make a statement of unity. Look at these pictures. Last Sunday afternoon, baptism. Looks like a bunch of sardines at the beach, doesn't it? See, what's the point to this? Confession. We walked people into the water, turned them around, and said, listen, as you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you have made that commitment in your heart. Now publicly, you are announcing that before all men. Church, Christian, listen, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. I'm not the one saying it. It is biblical fact. The believer at some point or another and or often is to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's happening here. You say, well, I didn't make it. What do I do? As a Christian, we are programmed by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us to confess Christ at opportunities. We look for the opportunities. We wonder, is this the opportunity? Is this the moment? Jesus says something that we cannot get away from. We cannot hide from. We cannot code over. And this morning, the temptation, look, the temptation in your mind is to justify why you don't confess Christ publicly to somebody. And I'm not talking about standing on a pulpit and yelling. But when somebody asks you this week, what did you do on Sunday? What did you do this weekend? Open door. Open door. What did you do Sunday? Wasn't Sunday a nice day? We went to swap meet. What did you do? Oh, nothing. If you say that and you're convicted, thank God, you're a believer, but back up and say, you know what? I didn't do anything. I didn't do nothing. I went to church. I believe that Jesus is my Lord. I went to church. Listen, the word in the Greek here, it is native to the believer. The believer confesses Christ. You say, well, I've never confessed Christ. Are you a believer? Well, of course I believe in God. That's not it. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? You're arguing with me right now in your mind because you think that I'm telling you to go preach somewhere or to go evangelize the world. Watch the other temptation. We've all heard it. I believe religion is a personal thing. That's from the pit of hell. At some point in time, like Paul, like Jeremiah of old, the Holy Spirit will require and demand of you, talk about him now. Speak about him now. This is God's challenge to us. We don't have the time to go through it. We're running out of time, but mark it down. Acts chapter 5, Stephen. Remember Stephen? Stephen was arrested and ill-treated for Jesus Christ and wrongly accused. Acts chapter 7 is an incredible sermon. Stephen preached. He could not deny the Lord. And what did he say right at the end? He said, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. And they picked up stones to kill Stephen. And Stephen said, I commit my hands into your spirit. Watch this. Stephen said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's interesting. The book of Revelation says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Well, which is it? Answer, he's seated until a believer dies, and apparently Jesus stands to greet him. Aren't you happy about that? What's the point? The word in Greek means, I love it. The day I die could be today. Bink. Jesus gets up off the throne and receives Jack. Come on up. I don't know how it's going to sound, but you know what I'm saying. He stands to greet you. Will Jesus Christ stand to greet you? Will he? You know what he's saying here? And your salvation's not based upon this. Please don't misunderstand me. Your salvation's not based on this. But because you are saved, you'll speak of his name. The word means to stand. You will get up and you'll take a stand for him. The day that you and I are called home, he'll stand for us. If we don't stand for him, he says, I'm not going to stand. I won't stand on that day either. Standing doesn't save you, but because you are his child, you will stand. And in this we rejoice. Christian, we rejoice in the fact, come, whatever this life can throw at us, when it's all said and done, we can rejoice that we're his children and he calls us friend. And it is awesome. And Jesus pleads with his audience to understand that. There's so much here, so little time on this. Look at verse 10. Rejoice in his power to judge. He says, if anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man, this is actually precious. Hang on to your seats. If anyone speaks against the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, it will be forgiven him, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven him. We studied this a couple weeks ago. I'll just say this very quickly. You can be against Jesus right now. You can say, I don't need him. Yes, you're resisting the Holy Spirit. You might use Jesus' name in vain. It may be today, it may be next month, it may be a year from now, you wind up repenting of that and receiving him as Lord and Savior, saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me. You can speak against the Son of Man. Here's the key. Don't die like that. Because it can be forgiven you. But if you die rejecting Christ, what you have done is that you've rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who points you to Christ, who wants you to come to Christ, to be saved by Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that's constantly speaking. We rejoice in the power that our God is the judge, not any man. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 tells us that the Holy Spirit is God. Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, he said there. Peter said, you've not only lied unto men, you've lied unto God. You've lied unto the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51 announces that those who refuse and reject the gospel message are resisting the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us life. And then finally this, rejoice in his power to defend. He's our defense. He is our defender. Verses 11 and 12. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, in other words, when all of religiosity, Police officers and the courts are against you, believer. It's getting like that. Don't worry about it, how or what you will answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you. Notice the personality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. This is a very wonderful thing, Christian. More and more dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Are the days getting threatening? Yes. But when they drag us before, listen, and this is historically accurate, has been for the last 2,000 years, when they drag us before the church council and they say, are you saying that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven? Martin Luther said that. Did you know that? Martin Luther said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. All of the cardinals and all of the bishops got Martin Luther together there, and they said, recant of this heresy, or it's your life. Are you sincere about what you are saying? And you know what Luther said? He said, let me think for a moment. I want to be absolutely sincere. He said it in German, but he said it. And then he came back and said, I'm absolutely certain. Unless a man is born again, he'll never see the kingdom of heaven, said Jesus. They said, this is heresy. Traditions trumped the word of God, and thousands and thousands and thousands of your brothers and sisters died for Jesus Christ and for the word. When religiosity drags you before its councils, or when the police have to enforce the law and arrest you, or when you're brought before the courts, Jesus said, don't worry about that. In that moment, I will fill your mouth. The Spirit of God will do that. See, Pastor, do I have to prepare a message if it ever happens to me? No, that's the whole point. In a time where you cannot prepare and you're not, it's brought upon you, the Holy Spirit takes over. He did it with Paul. He did it with Peter. He does it with us in that moment of challenge. So Christian, when all else fails, remember this. Our God is all-knowing, and rest in the fact that he's in every place that you and I are at. And rejoice in the fact that he's all-powerful. And that's for the believer. And this morning, if you're not a believer, what's there to remember for you? You'd rather forget. And what's there to rest in? And what's there to rejoice about? Jesus Christ is the answer. He is awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When All Else Fails. A look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 12. Part of our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we don't have to remind you of an important date in our nation's recent history, which is mere days away, and we have an event here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wherein we commemorate that infamous day. We're speaking, of course, about September 11th. And if you've wondered if perhaps there's some way for you to participate in an exercise or service, well, you're invited to join us here either at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills or online if you're not in Southern California. Either way, on Saturday, September 11th, we'll hold our 9/11 service, which will also air live on hischannel.com. And, of course, we've provided a link to hischannel.com from our own calvaryCCH.org website. If you are local and need a map to our campus, that's provided as well, calvaryCCH.org, and you'll know exactly where to point and click. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.